Confession of Sin on page 120. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us, according to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of Your holy name. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. O open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. We join in the responsive reading of Psalm 98 on page 187, responsively by whole verse. O sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained Him the victory. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm.
The trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joy to thee, for the Lord King.
Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Be seated. Our reading for this evening is taken from the 11th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, beginning at the 13th verse. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is the word of our Lord.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Morning, the same thing. He'd hear a newspaper hit the floor outside of his apartment door. He'd also hear a cat meowing, a cat that mysteriously appeared when the paper came. And when he went out to get the paper, he would pick it up and look at it, and amazingly, it wasn't that day's paper, it was the next day's paper. And he would scan that paper and look for all of the things, the bad things that had happened that were reported in the next day's paper. And his job, if you will, was to go out and to do his best to try and prevent as many bad things from happening as possible. That TV show was called Early Edition, and it ran in the late 90s. Part of the appeal of that show was it tried to connect with our inherent curiosity about the future. Think about it. Wouldn't it be great to know today's news, know it yesterday? Wouldn't it be great to know what was going to happen next week or next month or next year? What we could do with that knowledge. Now, the people that are featured in this text from Hebrews may have in some ways wished also for some sort of an early edition so that they could know what the future would hold. And yet at the same time, they didn't really need that. They had an anticipation of seeing promises fulfilled. This text before us comes in the midst of what's sometimes called the Faith Hall of Fame, because in it, the writer to the Hebrews is talking about God's Old Testament people, how many of them showed their faith through their lives. And even though each one showed their faith in different ways, they were all waiting. They were waiting for not just any promise, but the promise to be fulfilled. So the message for us this evening is live in faith while you wait, and specifically while you wait for your true home. Faith. Faith means that you trust without seeing. That can be kind of difficult, can't it? To trust if you can't see where you're going. Imagine if you were blindfolded for an entire day and you had to be led around by someone. Now, assuming that person who is leading you is having your best interests in mind,
What kind of relationship might you develop with that person? Well, you'd have to come to trust that person quite a bit. Otherwise, you're not going to get anywhere on that particular day. Such was the case for the people that are featured in the text. God had promised them that he was going to send them a Savior from their sins. And he had also promised them that he was going to give them a new home. They trusted in God to deliver. They could see the fulfillment of those promises down the road. They didn't have them in hand, but they could see them, that they were out there just waiting to be fulfilled. The text says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. Through the eyes of faith, as they looked ahead, they believed that God was going to fulfill his promises, that they were going to receive the benefits of those promises. They simply had to wait. I don't like to wait. I don't know about you. Maybe you're a little different, but if you really want to drive me crazy, put me in a long line, whether it's at the checkout or a service counter at a theme park, and then to make it worse, cause some delays so that I'm even slower in getting to the front of the line. I just get too impatient. I don't like to wait. How often do we treat God that way? That we get impatient with him because we don't like to wait. He tells us that he works all things together for good to those who love him. And yet, defiantly, we ask why when something difficult happens in our lives. He promises that he'll always be with us, that he is never going to leave us. And yet we accuse him of that very thing when we don't feel his presence. He tells us that he's going to provide for us, give us everything that we need, and yet we complain when we don't get everything that we want, which most of the time is much more than we need. But we don't have to wait for the forgiveness of those sins. Yes, our distrust of God is a sin for which he could very easily put us in the short line to hell. But he doesn't. Instead, he sent his son. He sent his son, Jesus, to suffer hell for us. He took out his wrath for our sins on his son when he hung on the cross, so that we don't have to feel that burning anger of God, so that we don't have to be abandoned by our God. Indeed, we're on the other side of that promise to send a Savior because God already has sent our Savior. And so we trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, even though we can't see it as much as we might like to. Our faith in Jesus is something that the Holy Spirit has worked in us, and it's by that faith that we continue every day in our lives. He guides us every day of our lives. And yet there's still something even more important that's yet unseen. God not only promised to send us a Savior, the promise that he fulfilled in sending Jesus, he also promised to give us a new home. That's what he means in the last part of this text. The writer says, "For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." When it comes to this part of God's promises, we're in the same boat, really, as the Old Testament believers were. We have to wait, just like they had to wait, not only for the promise of a Savior, but also for the promise of their true home of heaven. We also wait. They didn't have a desire to go back to the lands for which God had called them because they knew that they had a much better home waiting for them. And now, for them, that home is realized. Every day they get to join with the angels in praising God. Now, I'm not going to say that we have an absolutely awful, terrible, putrid place in which we live right now, because as we look at this world, as we look at our situation, we really don't have it all that bad, right? But compared to our home in heaven, this world is an awful, disgusting, putrid place in which to live. To think about living forever in a place where there is no sin, no death, no pain, no tears. We can't even begin to comprehend that sort of a home. Even if we all lived in multi-million-dollar mansions, we'll still be better off when we get to heaven. But then, in the meantime, there's that faith thing again. We know that we who trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and for life itself, we know that we have heaven waiting for us as our true home. But we don't have it yet. And so we continue in this life to live by faith. Every day, Jesus is the one who leads us around, who guides us into what's best for us. He knows what's best for us. So keep trusting in your Savior. Keep trusting in Jesus, because he not only gives us the best, he not only knows what's best for us now, he also has waiting for us the best in heaven. Amen. Please rise. God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
toward evening, and the day is far spent. Abide with us and with your whole church. Abide with us in the end of the day, in the end of our life, and in the end of the world. Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair when death shall come. Abide with us and with all the faithful through time and eternity.
Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And